flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Craig Hoffman.
I had a lot of gummies. Like, not gummies of that kind. Don't you look at me like that.
The Hoffman Show.
Sour worms.
Okay.
Because they had them in the things you can buy. Our little work kitchen area.
Yeah,
the market. Thank you. See, as I said, making sense. Not always my thing. And it's not the gummies.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Don't get it twisted. It is 5 o'clock on a Tuesday. We are going to welcome in Mitch Tischler, even though we don't have any air horns, because I don't know where the air horns are and Anthony's out. That's okay, though. It is time, though. We have this to play for Mitch. It's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
All right, Mitchell is with us for one final time of the season. Mr. Tischler, how are you on this Tuesday?
Meow, 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 meow. I'm good. I come with my own air horns.
You do. You do. They were the cat variety. Who knew?
Who knew?
Everybody now. Just like we all find out. Mitchell, I have a burning question for you before we get into anything else. Did you know before Sunday, after covering this man for a decade, that Tressway was right-handed?
You know, he plays ping pong right-handed, and we had talked about that in the locker room before about being ambidextrous. And I don't know that I knew that he was right-handed. I knew that he does some things with his right hand, but that man is as athletic as anyone in any NFL locker room, and it's crazy to say that about your punter.
That is. I did enjoy that Tress gave like a good dad wind-up to that. There was just kind of like a boom, perfect ball to Ben Sinnott to it. There's like a circular motion.
Well, it was very funny in the locker room afterwards. I was talking to him, and he said Marcus Mariota came over to him and said, hey, you know, great throw right in between the two safeties. And Tress said, man, I'm glad that the ball got there because I only saw one of them. But that was a perfect throw, and I loved it.
That is an outstanding story. All right, Mitch, it's we do Vibe Check Tuesday before we have you on each week, and sometimes I like to bring you into it. As you now have had, you know, whatever number of hours it's been, 36, 48 hours since this game goes down on Sunday, like, how are you feeling about the game, about the season?
Yeah, I mean, about the game, I feel disappointed. Not sad, just disappointed that they didn't come out and play a better football game. I mean, arguably that was their worst game of the year. Maybe week one against the Bucs, but they didn't turn the ball over quite like they did You know, the other game they had all the turnovers in was the 5 against Philly, you know, at home. They ended up winning that game. It's a shame in the NFC Championship they came out and didn't play their best. But what's encouraging is that it wasn't your foundational pieces that struggled. It was, you know, some of the auxiliary guys who obviously had a couple fumbles and made mistakes. But, you know, Jaden showed who he was. It wasn't his best game himself, but he played well enough that he put the team in position that without the turnovers, they could have won it. So, you know, I'm disappointed, but at the same time, super encouraged by, you know, the front office, the coaching staff, and the players on this roster.
Yeah, I that's kind of where I'm at. It's such a bitter end to the season. And even if they lost, it's whatever. But the fact they lost the way they lost just is so hard to swallow. What was it like being there? Because talking to Logan was interesting. He said it felt to him on the sideline like they were sped up. Like they kind of felt the pressure for the first time basically all season. Is that something you could feel from the press box, that they were pressing a little bit, that the team was reacting in a way that was different than when they faced other good opponents?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sped up certainly is I guess one way to put it. I don't know that I really felt that as much. I'll start defensively. I really like, clearly they had a beat on the Jalen Hurts snap count, especially once Cam Jurgens didn't start the game and they were going with a backup center. We saw Frankie Louvu kind of dice through that O-line a couple times at key moments, and I think you could see that, you know, the experience of playing that team, you know, for the third time, that they were able to kind of take advantage of it. Offensively, you know, we saw Jaden make a couple mistakes early in the game on passes out to the flats where the ball just was just short. It almost looked like he was aiming it, you know, more than just kind of letting it loose. And that's been very uncharacteristic of, you know, who Jaden Daniels is. At no point during the week leading up or pregame on the field or being around the guys did I feel like they were tight in any way. And I give Dan Quinn a ton of credit for that. Once I got on the field, though, you know, it felt, sitting in the press box, it felt like I just kept expecting the magic that we had seen all season to resurface. And every time they kind of had an opportunity to really put pressure on that Eagles offense to move the ball, they would turn the ball over. And, you know, the McNichols fumble with whatever it was, a 140 left in the first half, really was, to me, the killer turning point of that game and the kind of the point of no return where you saw the Commanders offense start turning into a little bit of what we saw from the Lions last week, where they were pressing a little bit and feeling like they had to score every possession to keep up. But, you know, these are big-time situations, and Jaden Daniels has played in a ton of big-time games. It's something that a lot of these guys are going to learn from and haven't really experienced before. So that's an Eagles team that's 3-4 years ahead of where Washington is. I am, you know, optimistic and hopeful that Washington will have plenty of more opportunities to play in those types of games.
For sure. I just am scared that they're going to see the Eagles for a lot of it. Maybe scared is not the right term, because you hope that the Washington's good enough to compete, but like, Philly's really young too. They're really good, and they've managed their cap well and all that kind of stuff. So the Eagles are a team that they're going to definitely see again, and hopefully next time that game can be in Landover instead of at the Link. Mitch, I thought you asked a great question, and I actually want to play the answer that Adam Peters gave, or sorry, Dan Quinn gave yesterday at the press conference, where you talked about, you know, how this team was built, right? And Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz and those guys coming in. And you kind of think as you continue forward building this team that some of those guys won't be around and those types of players won't be around because they'll bring in younger players. And so you basically ask, like, well, how do you balance building or having leadership on the roster with building a contender and having some youth? And this is what Dan Quinn said for the audience that did not hear it.
Some things don't show up on the stat sheet. They just don't. And people like Adam see that and understand that. It may not come in a metric or next-gen stat, but it shows up in a big way. And you've heard me use the word glue guys or great teammates, and all of those things can factor into what, you know, you're looking for to build as a team. So everything matters. And for teammates like that have a different role, all of them have an impact on winning, but their roles may be different. So it'll always be a part of our equation.
Mitch, you asked the question. Why did you ask that question, and what did you make of the answer?
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, I asked it because one of the big things, you know, Ron Rivera talked about culture all the time, and it's become such a buzzword in Washington and, you know, almost a negative word because it's been so poor amongst this team. But, you know, if you look big picture at this, the way this franchise has built teams over the past decade or so, there aren't a lot of veterans that have come in. And so the onus for leadership has been on the shoulders of the guys who are on their second contracts in the league, but had never really won or done anything themselves, because obviously Washington was never that franchise, you know, that was playing in playoff games consistently. And they hit, you know, at a high rate this offseason, not just the veterans that came in, but across the board. And it's not necessarily the most sustainable plan of action to building a team. Getting Bobby Wagner and Austin Eckler and Zach Ertz were big, big factors in setting the standard for the franchise and in the locker room and on the practice fields. But the idea that you're going to be able to have veteran guys step in and play meaningful minutes isn't really necessarily sustainable. There's only so many of those veterans that, you know, still have gas left in the tank and can help you out. And, you know, you're looking at a roster before this season that you were still waiting for a quarterback. And so it's hard to be aggressive, you know, to winning football games when you're starting journeyman older quarterbacks. This team needs to take advantage of Jaden Daniels on this rookie deal. And part of taking advantage of that is, you know, building for the future in 2 years and 3 years, you know, assuming Jaden continues on the trajectory that he's on, he's going to be looking at a, you know, $500, $600, $700 million contract. Who knows what that's going to look like in the future? And so you're going to need a base of young players that can step in and play and really help you out. And so, you know, I think for both Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, it's going to be interesting to see how they attack this offseason, because you do need those guys who are the locker room glue guys. I mean, you know, there was a lot of laughter about the Bobby Wagner, Jaden Daniels relationship, where they tease each other about reading books and who's better at basketball and whose college is, you know, better and all these different things. And those sorts of things, like Dan Quinn said, don't show up on the stat sheet, but help make a young player feel comfortable in a brand new environment, not to mention a brand new high stress environment. And so I was wondering, kind of, you know, now that a standard has been set, can they now make a move towards bringing in youth and layering positions, so if somebody leaves in free agency or gets hurt or doesn't work, that player can step in? Or is the standard something that kind of continues, that needs to be set? You know, it needs to be reinforced year after year as the roster turns over. And I thought it was interesting listening to Dan, because it certainly sounds like he thinks, you know, it's important for him to have those types of players. And maybe next year they're able to keep, you know, all of Ertz, Wagner, and Eckler, or a combination of the group. But as you move forward, you know, let's be honest, those three guys didn't have a ton of options around the NFL of places where they were going to go and be able to play meaningful minutes. So as you start looking towards the future, do you start looking internally at guys like, you know, Sam Cosmi, Tyler Biadasz, you know, some of the, you know, Duran, John, one of those, you know, some of those guys, do they become the veterans who are setting the standard, or does he want to continue to bring in kind of new voices? And I just think, you know, as we start talking about how different this roster is going to look next season, because I think it will look very different from 2 seasons ago to this season, there were 33 new players on that initial 53. I think as we go to next year, you're probably looking at probably 20 new players. So the roster is going to be kind of significantly different. And I just kind of wanted to get a feel for where the brain trust was in terms of roster building and how they looked at what they wanted to do in this offseason?
I thought it was a great question, and the more I've thought about their answer, I like it, because I think they understand what made their group special and why they were able to get where they got. Part of the situational excellence and some of the little things that just always seemed like they were taken care of until the final game. But the thing that got them ultimately 14 wins out of this season was in large part because of so many of those things. So to say like, oh, we don't need that anymore, I think the question becomes when is the next generation ready to assume those things? And I'd like them, like you said, part of the problem is none of the guys that are kind of in that age to take that on. A guy like Terry, I mean, Terry's going to be 30 next year. But he's had one winning season in the NFL. So balancing those two facts is hard. I guess the good thing that I would say, Mitch, and I'm curious how you feel about this, is you don't have to reinvent that stuff. I'd bring Bobby back. I'd bring Zach back. Austin, it would depend on what else I feel like I can do with that position. But I would bring those two back because both of them are really important to Jaden Daniels. And if I'm going to get the best out of Jaden Daniels, and you tell me I have to bring back a guy in Bobby who was second team all pro and the best leader in the building, fine. I realize he's a little slow in coverage, but fine. And then outside of Terry, the second best target you had on the team. I don't want him to be the second best target next year. I want to upgrade in other places, but you don't necessarily have to, that doesn't have to preclude bringing those two guys back. And thus, I think I would probably do it for another year and then hope that the Terrys, the Cosmes, the Biotishes, and frankly, the Jadens and the Mike Sainer stills are ready to step into a much bigger leadership role at that point.
Exactly. And I think it's important in roster construction that there is a balance between leadership and play on the field. And that Venn diagram happened to have a large overlap this season because Bobby was able to play so well and Dan Quinn and company did such a good job of managing Zach Ertz and practice time and not wearing him down. Even, you know, number of plays in game, was a masterful coaching job of keeping veterans, you know, light on their feet and, you know, and healthy and, you know, not getting worn down. I don't know that, again, that's particularly sustainable, the Venn diagram of having veterans that can also be very helpful on the football field, because quite frankly, I mean, as anything in life, as you get older, things get tougher. But they did a really good job this season of it. And if Adam Peters is able to identify those guys alongside Dan Quinn, and that's, you know, an area of expertise for this group, that's a really, really strong addition to a football team, and not only worrying about bringing in as many young guys and figuring out who can play, but having folks that can kind of lead the way and show you, hey, I've won a Super Bowl before. I've been on NFC Championship, AFC Championship teams. I know what it takes to get the job done. And, I'm hoping that's something they can keep moving forward with.
Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast, with us here on the Hoffman Show. I think there's two other parts of this that I think are pretty important to mention and are worth discussing. One, older players should do better here because of the investments they've made in medical and all of that side of the house. Like, Josh Harris is big on sports science. And so the fact that they're going to have leaders in that field around is going to help. And by the way, you have a general manager and a head coach who are just fine with that. These are not old school guys that are going to say, no, we got to bang our head against the wall. We need more padded practices. Let's bend the rules. Like, no, they're going to listen to the sports science people. And they just got Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz through a season healthy. They're going to try to do that stuff again if those guys are back. And if I'm a veteran somewhere else and I see that happening and I'm one of these guys that might fit that profile, I'm probably going to want to go to Washington, because now all of a sudden I know they have the know-how to get me through that season. And I think that becomes really important in terms of the recruiting side of it. Mitch, I'm just going to be honest with you. I forgot what the other thing I was going to say was. So I'll let you react to that part first and see if it comes back to my brain, because that's how my ADD goes sometimes.
Yeah, just, you know, rattle that head around. It'll show back up again. Listen, they found two 15-plus-year veterans who were able to step in and, you know, play meaningful minutes. And that's a big deal. To your point about folks around the league seeing what's happening in Washington, you have both the upgrade of everything across the organization kind of behind the scenes. You also have, a superstar quarterback, and it's a desirable place to play. And so years passed, you know, you didn't necessarily have the option of who you wanted to sign to be your starting middle linebacker, and that's how David Mayo ends up as a starting linebacker on a roster, you know, because you weren't a desirable place to be. The combination of the upgrades on the field and winning, combined with the investment to become a more, let's say, competitive franchise behind the scenes, goes a long way towards, you know, who's going to ultimately be in your building. And you look at what, you know, the Eagles being able to sign Saquon Barkley, you know, last offseason, boils down to he found an optimal situation with a team that was ready to win and a organization that is built well. I'm not saying the Commanders are going to find Saquon Barkley this offseason, but you're in the conversation. You know, if Saquon was a free agent this offseason and was trying to figure out where to go, it's hard to imagine that the Commanders wouldn't be at least on the short list of teams that he wanted to explore, because Jaden Daniels puts your team in a position where any given Sunday, at any given point, your team can come back and win a football game. It goes a long way, and it's exciting, and it's going to be a mind shift for yourself, for me, for everyone, you know, around this organization, fan base, media, that the discourse is going to be different this offseason than it's been, and hopefully continues to be different as this team continues to build towards being a perennial contender.
For sure. And I remember the other thing, and it's simply that with Adam Peters in charge and the way that he goes about his business, like when we talk about the Commanders tag, right? Like, these guys are future leaders. Like, they're built a certain way. The character is a feature, not a bug, in terms of their scouting. So guys like Frankie Louvu, like, could he be a leader here in a bigger way and take on more responsibility if Bobby is not back? Like, absolutely. The way that he plays and his personality sets up for that. So I think that, you know, Biotish, same thing. The guys they bring in, both in free agency and the draft, it is a culture of leadership. And I think while the know-how of a guy like Bobby specifically, gold jacket, Super Bowl champion, Zach, possible gold jacket, Super Bowl champion, one of the best at his position for a long time, that know-how is irreplaceable. But the culture has been set, and I think there's enough guys that will be back that make up the fabric of who this team is, that I feel pretty good about that. And then it's just a matter of who steps up in the biggest moments. And frankly, like, Mikey might be that guy, even, you know, if not next year, if a guy like Bobby is back by year three. Like, Mike Sanders still is going to be the guy for a decade here, that's leading the meetings and all that kind of stuff. And I feel, frankly, Mitchell, excellent about that.
That pick was, I mean, Jaden Daniels is the best pick because, you know, he is who he is and has turned into the quarterback that he is. But Mikey Sanders still, you know, there was a hope that he would be good. And we knew he was, you know, this mature leader from Michigan who, you know, started off as receiver and, you know, made his way to being a DB. But his maturity level is higher than even I expected. And one thing that I really liked a lot was, you know, some of the discourse around Jaden before he was drafted was that he's old and, you know, I don't know if you should draft him. He spent 5 years in college and said another thing. Those 5 years are part of the reason Jaden is as mature as he is. And the fact that this front office prioritizes, you know, leadership and maturity along with ability to play football, because ultimately, obviously, that's the number one thing, you know, goes a long way. But we've talked a lot about these veterans that had major impacts in terms of play on the field in Bobby and Zach and Austin. But you also have to look deeper on this roster. Jamison Crowder, Sheldon Day, you know, a couple of these guys who, I'm not saying that they're superstars or that they're the ones that are, you know, going to ultimately stand up in a room and you know, pound their chest and pump up these guys, but just solid veterans who have been there and done that before and approach the game in a professional manner. You know, all those little things matter, and it's great to see your superstars, you know, lead the way. Terry, you know, starting to embrace that leadership role. One awesome thing in the postgame locker room, Terry was making his way around the locker room, dapping up all the guys, hugging them, kind of whispering a couple words into their ears. And he was still in, you know, his game pants and taking off his shoulder pads, but still in, you know, basically full uniform. And, you know, that sort of stuff is, you know, rah-rah and, you know, not necessarily, something that fans would know or notice, but it is a difference maker. And it is something that helps the franchise build to become who you want to be.
Without question. Mitch, we thank you for making this show what we want it to be every Tuesday, all season long. Thanks so much for all of your time this year. We'll obviously continue to talk throughout the off season, just not as regularly scheduled. And thanks, man. I really am glad that we did this and look forward to doing it hopefully for many more years to come.
Craig, it's been a ton of fun. Thanks for having me. It's been awesome with you and Anthony all season long and all the other producers that you work with. And I'm a phone call, a text message phone call away. Anytime you guys want to pick up some Commander's talk, I'm happy to hop on and chop it up with you guys.
We will definitely take you up on that. Appreciate you, buddy, and I will talk to you soon. It's Mitch Tischler, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. Of course, Mitch is the host of the Beltway Football Podcast along with JP Finley. You can catch that in the Monumental Sports app and wherever you get your podcasts. When we get back here on The Hoffman Show, we did not get a chance to do our pick six yesterday because we were busy taking your calls. So here's what I'm going to offer. We can continue to push the pick six back yet another day if you want to blow up our phones right now at 301-230-0980. Or we will get to the pick six and take one final look back at that game from Sunday. Oh, my God. Do we really have to? Yeah, it's the responsible thing to do. So we'll do that or take more of your calls next on the Team 980.